Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Heart Moms Club podcast. I'm your host, Aubrey Brown. And today we are recording episode number 2 of this podcast. I cannot even believe I'm saying that still. It's not sank in yet that I have a podcast. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I get to help create this community for people like myself that want to find others to connect with. And so it's just been amazing getting the feedback from episode 1 and hearing what you guys liked about it, what you want to hear about. And those of you that have joined the Facebook group, I absolutely adore seeing all of your little heart warriors and heart angels. I just love all the pictures, and I'm excited to get to know you guys even more. And so if you haven't joined the Facebook group, it's in the episode description. It's just Heart Moms Club on Facebook. And I do have a question that you need to answer to get in, just so I know that you are Heart Warriors mom or Heart Angel mom. So it's just asking what CHD your little one had or has. And so if you could fill that out, and then I can accept you, and then definitely do an introduction post so we can all get to know you guys. So that is our Facebook group. But our podcast, though, today, we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be in the Heart Mom Club, because there's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad, and there's even more ugly. And so I would like to dive into a little bit about that today. And then it's February, guys. We are in Heart Month. This is, you know, the best month just to spread awareness and to celebrate all of the things that we've all gone through. And when I say we, I mean we, the heart warriors and the families. And so lastly, in our podcast today, we will actually be having our first interview with my very first heart mom friend, Lexi Wiseman. And so I can't wait to have you guys meet her, and let's get started. Okay, so before we dive into some more, I wanted to pause really quick and talk to you guys about a sponsor that we got for this podcast. Maglio by Design is on Etsy, and it's owned by Tina, and she has the cutest heart warrior, heart family, all the heart clothes. And she actually does more than just clothes. She also does blankets and coffee mugs, stickers, coasters. There's so much that she has on her Etsy page here. And I am obsessed with it all. And I actually have a code for you guys. If you guys want to check out her Etsy page and order, in your order, you can add a coupon or a code. And if you put Heart Moms Club, all one word, into the code box, you'll get 10% off your order. And so if you're anything like me, February, Heart Month, is the best time to spread awareness and to dress your kids up in the cutest clothes. And really, if you check out Maglio by Design on Etsy, you will fall in love with so many pieces. So just remember that the code is Heart Mom Club, Heart Moms Club. Sorry, there's an S in moms. Heart Moms Club. All one word, mashed together. You guys will get 10% off your order. And if you guys have any questions, please reach out to me or Tina, and we can help you guys find some stuff. So I think one of the biggest things with becoming a heart mom is that you look for somebody that you can connect with, and somebody that might be going through a similar phase of life or a similar situation or a similar diagnosis. You're just looking for comfort in that somebody is going through it with you. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I love. I love having heart mom friends. And that's why I created this podcast, because some people that are just joining the heart mom community, they don't have friends yet. They don't have people that they can rely on. They don't have a group of 4 moms in a heart mom group chat. They don't have that. And I want to make sure that we help those moms, and we help other people that are struggling find the help they need, find people they can talk to, find resources. Even if they don't want to talk to somebody specifically, they can help find some resources in the heart community that could really benefit them as well. And so back to my moral of the story is that when you join the Heart Mom Club and you find those things, we get attached to each other's children. I look at all of my heart mom friends on Facebook, and I see them on TikTok, and I see them on Instagram, and I see their kids grow up, and I watch them go through struggles, and I watch them climb these huge mountains, and I'm proud of them. I'm proud of their moms. I'm proud to be a friend. And so it's tough when you see those friends going through really hard, dark times. And if you're a part of this community long enough, which all of us are, this is all stuff that we're going to be dealing with for the rest of our children's lives. It's changed us. And so unfortunately, that means we're going to see a lot of changes in our friends and our families' lives too. I know I talked a little bit last week about baby Everly at the end of our first episode, and she was going through a rough time after receiving her heart transplant the week prior, and it was just a lot of different things that were not working in her favor. And unfortunately, baby Everly did gain her heart angel wings last week, and it's tough. It's really tough to see your friends go through that and know that that could be you, that easily could have been me and Theo in that situation. I know our diagnoses are different, and I know that there are a lot of things that are different, but at the same point, it could be us. And it's hard not to let those thoughts creep into our minds that our time with our children is limited, but our time with everyone is limited. It doesn't have to be our heart hero or a heart warrior. It could be our heart healthy child. A tragic event could happen and our time with them is limited too. And so it's hard to ground yourself. It's hard to take a step back and realize that it's okay. You are okay right now. And even if you're not okay, you will be okay. You won't be the same. Of course, traumatic events change you. They impact your life. And I know that baby Everly will be somebody that our family talks about forever. I have a little poster in Theo's room, actually, and our heart mom friends that we are very close with, or we have connections with, I guess. I go to the library where I used to work, and I would print out a picture of that heart warrior or heart angel, and I would attach it to this little poster. It's not big, but it has pictures of his heart friends on it. And so growing up, he will know that he's got these friends with him, and we've got those friends with us. And even if they're not here physically still, they're a part of our story, and we will forever talk about baby Everly. I dearly love baby Conway, who lost his battle this summer, and baby Brinley the week before last. It's hard to be a part of this community and see these losses, but I'm still a part of it. And their moms, I'm here supporting them as much as I can. I'm not local to any of them, and so that makes it very hard. But I'm here if they need anything. And I hope that if I were to be in that position someday, that I would have people that would be there for me if I needed anything, whether it's to talk about an experience in the hospital or to talk about navigating what this world looks like now, like how to go on, because that's something that is tough. And I don't know how they do it. I don't know. I don't have the answers. I hope to talk to some moms, and I plan to talk to some moms on this podcast later about it. Okay, so before I completely run out of time on this podcast episode, let's go ahead and jump into the interview with Lexi. Hello, Lexi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being our first guest on the Heart Moms Club podcast. Holy cow. Can you believe this?
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy how the world changes in just a short amount of time.
Oh my gosh. Like we were saying, a year and a half ago, I was messaging you on Facebook because you were the only person that I knew that had a heart warrior, and we had just been diagnosed and told to prepare for this club, and I was messaging you all of the questions because everything was just thrown at me and I had no one to talk to, and I was like, Lexi! but gosh, well, tell us. No, I mean, like I said, yeah, you have a heart warrior yourself, and he's getting so big. So tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, so Asher is almost four. He'll be four in April. And he was born in 2019. And similar to you, we found out at our 20-week ultrasound, they, you know, several people this happens to, and it's so sad that it does. But I went into the ultrasound with my husband, and honestly, we were just trying to figure out how we were going to find out what gender our baby was and what special reveal we were going to do. We did all the genetic testing before, so I had no worries at all. Went in and our doctor was kind of going over and just kind of got quiet. She was great though. And I was not worried. She's like, I can't see quite everything that I need to. And this is a new machine. I'm going to go grab someone else just to help me with this. I don't do this all the time. I'm like, okay, whatever. And she's like,
oh my gosh, they actually
worry,
brought someone else in.
Yeah. So she actually brought in the like ultrasound tech who is on the machine all the time. So, and she was like, don't worry though. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And I was a little bit, but not really. Like we did the genetic testing and she said not to worry. So it's fine. And then the ultrasound tech was kind of going over and, they were giving each other the eyes and I heard her whisper like, yeah, that's what it is, and something along those lines. And then it kind of just became a whirlwind of things. She kind of just helped me up, and the ultrasound stopped right there. We did not go further. And she helped me sit up at the end of the table and just said, you know, I'm not able to see all the ventricles in the baby's heart. So something is wrong with your baby's heart. He could potentially have hypoplastic left heart syndrome. And I'm like,
What the heck?
Yeah. I thought you were going to tell me if it was a boy or a girl. I was so naive. And, I mean, I guess at the time, thank goodness. But then we were lucky. We're in central Nebraska, and UNMC, or no, University Med Center, UMC, was actually there. They're high-risk doctors, so they were able to fit me in. He looked at it. He gave us, like, three potential options. We went home, so I kind of skipped a part, but we went back home. I called my sister, and we were pregnant at the same time. Our babies were due a week apart. And so she's like, what is it? And I just start bawling. Yeah. Something's wrong with the baby's heart. We don't know. We have to go back. And she is like the calmest, greatest person in any sort of situation like that. So she's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how you're going to go into it. You're going to ask these questions. And then you're going to call me right back. And I was like, okay. So we went back. They gave us a list of things that could be. And things just like went so fast after that. And I don't know if that's how it is for everyone. I don't know. But then like the next, I don't even think we waited a full week, maybe even 3 days. We got into, Dr. Amita Martin in Lincoln. And then from there, I'll never forget. I sat on the bed and she was getting ready to fly to a different country that day. She's like, yeah, bring her in. I'll see her first thing. And then I got to get on the plane. So she ended up doing the ultrasound. But before anything began, I sat on the bed and she looked at me and she said, before we even begin, I need to let you know that there was absolutely nothing you did to cause this. There has to be thousands of things that go right in utero for a baby to have a perfectly healthy heart. And even if one thing goes wrong, this is where we end up. Of course, I bawled again.
That's so amazing that she was there to tell you that just to start with.
Yes. And then she found out, she was the one that told us that it was transposition of the great arteries. We thought it was just regular transposition of the great arteries. Then after that, we went to Colorado, where they diagnosed it as congenitally corrected transposition of the great arteries, sometimes known as LEVO transposition of the great arteries. Coming back from that trip from Colorado, we went down that day and came home that night. So it was like a 6.5 hour drive there, 6.5 hours back, just my husband and I went. And it was a pretty devastating trip home. We had really high hopes. When we got there, just the baby was a little bigger. We knew that they could see some more things. But it wasn't the most fun trip back. It was pretty quiet. Then I think it was maybe even a week after that, we went to Omaha and they confirmed everything that Colorado had seen. So, very long story. His overall diagnosis was LEVO transposition of the great arteries, mildly hypoplastic left heart, pulmonary stenosis. He had an ASD as well, an atrial septal defect, and then a very large ventricular septal defect. And because of that and the mild HLHS, he really runs on a single ventricle. But I always like to say 1.5. He's got that half.
Aww.
He's got a lot going, but you would never know it. Except if he was running around because his lips are blue and his fingers. Oh, but
he's the cutest little dude. I just love seeing all of his pictures.
Thank you. He is a character and he thinks he's cute and funny as well.
Hey, that's a good quality to have.
Hi.
Yeah? Yeah.
So walk me through a little bit. You had how many fetal echoes?
Before we got the official diagnosis or total?
Just total, yeah. How many did you guys end up doing?
A lot.
Yeah.
Let me think. Six to...
Holy cow.
I mean, it was one every month or every 3 weeks. So we had a lot. But...
Yeah.
I liked that. I liked that we were always being able to see and could then come up with a new plan. It was really helpful for my soul to, at every appointment, the sonographer would give me a huge, all the ultrasound pictures of his face. And yes. So seeing those was helpful every time to remember that, like, you know, that's my baby in there. And there's just funny different, the way his arms are, or his hands of, gosh, he was the character in the womb, even with the pictures of the ultrasounds that we have. So we had a lot of fetal echoes. We had a lot of meetings after each one. So
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Yeah. Well, in our case, we had 4 fetal echoes and I absolutely loved getting those experiences. Just, we had a lot of just general ultrasounds and everything like that with Theo, but those echoes, I mean, it was nice knowing that people were, you know, being very diligent on what's happening and if anything's looking different or changing. Cause I know one of the things I talked to you about is we were initially diagnosed TGA. And that was kind of a crazy thing because that's, you know, that's your experiences are around that as well. And so when we ended up changing our diagnoses in utero, that was kind of a crazy time for us just dealing with, okay, we already kind of prepared for this is what we thought. These are surgery options. This is kind of what we're thinking. And then just to have that kind of switched on us was, you know, kind of another slap in the face of, holy crap, we are not in charge of anything. These heart babies, yeah, and these heart kids have full control, and they will keep you on your toes every minute of the way. And you guys have, you know, Asher is how old now? Is he three?
Three and a half, almost four.
Oh my gosh. And you guys have just gone through it all. And so talking about him leading up to birth. And so what surgery have you guys had? Surgeries? You had one big one. Is that right? Or two?
Yep. One so far. So exactly what you said, like they make the rules. We don't get to, they keep us on our toes. I think there's been several lessons that I have learned and I'm still learning and I'm going to learn. But one of them, the biggest one, is that I have always been like a planner. Like, this is what is going to happen. This is what we're going to do. And that's just how it's going to be done. That I can control that. So similar to you, I moved to Omaha 4 weeks before just to make sure that I didn't go into labor early. I would be at the hospital if I needed to. I was close. So they kind of gave they told me, you know, you will deliver the baby, and we'll take him away. We'll get him checked out. You'll hold him for a little bit, hopefully, and then we'll go ahead and transport him to the 40 blocks, whatever, to Children's Hospital. And I dealt with that. Okay, whatever. Well, and then, you know, and then about a day, the next day, we'll have one of the surgeries to put a band over his pulmonary artery. Okay, we had that plan. That was the plan. Well, he came out. He was doing great. He ended up staying at the hospital with me for 8 hours. He went over to the hospital to the Children's Hospital to get his lines in and everything. I was going to get discharged, and there was a little issue with me, so stayed for a couple more hours. Then I got to Children's after that. Said hi to him about 10 o'clock and then tried to sleep for a little bit at the Rainbow House. We were there for 5 days, without any surgical intervention. His body did what it needed to. His pulmonary artery kind of banded itself. So we came home without doing anything.
Isn't that crazy? We kind of make all of these plans, and these babies just surprise us in the best ways. And I mean, going back, and I know it's hard to talk about a lot of this stuff, especially the things we have no control over, and we just have to go with the flow and go with it. But I just know that I never expected things to go the way they did. Whether that's being pregnant, ending up in this Heart Moms Club. We had a 5-day, actually, I think it was 6-day stay in the NICU with no interventions right away either. And then we see some of these moms who didn't even know their babies had a heart defect. And those babies get flown in that night and have surgery within 10 hours of their life. Like, it's insane. Yeah. Like, we can make all these plans. We can be prepared. And it just goes up in the air. And I mean, I'm so thankful for the way that everything's planned out with both of our families, but it's just, it really makes me take a step back and realize, like, I am not in control. And like you said, it's so easy for us in our world. And I mean, we were both in the education world, and we like to have that kind of control, to be able to plan, to be able to take those steps and to prepare. And it's just mind-blowing to me. I just don't know. But
right,
going off of your initial NICU stay, you guys were able to wait a little bit longer before having your surgery. Is that right?
Yeah. So we then came home and did the interstage monitoring. pulse ox every day, multiple times a day, weight checks. I can't, maybe how much he ate. I can't really remember the big things besides oxygen and weight. We had appointments every week to check in. Since we're in Central Nebraska, cardiology would come from Omaha to the Tri-Cities, so to Kearney, to Grand Island, to Hastings. And so we were literally getting like cardiology visits every other week and then going to our pediatrician every week just to monitor very closely. But we ended up going 6 months without anything. But by the 6 month mark, he was very cyanotic, low oxygen all the time. We ended up, we had to kind of push for it, for home oxygen, which took a little bit of time, but he finally got it. And he wasn't on a lot, but it's, very scary to just see your 6 month old baby being blue 24/7. So, got some home oxygen to help get him a little bit more pink. And then
what
we ended
his
up
stats at that point.
They were consistently in the low 60s.
Low 60s, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we went to Omaha and he had the Glenn procedure done, but I'm still kind of confused about it. Our cardiologist calls it the Glenn Plus. And I mean, you guys can read the reports. I have no idea about how it all connects and you know, the quote unquote plumbing. I have no idea. Whatever it is, it was, it's working. They ended up putting a pulmonary band, like a conduit-ish thing, like a kind of like a stent around his pulmonary artery rather than like banding it. So in hopes that it would kind of restrict itself when it needed to, which I think worked as well. He's had a couple heart cats to balloon that a little bit. It has needed to be ballooned. And then he did have some extra collaterals. Just recently he had another heart cath done, because his heart had just formed collaterals, which is very common. And so a lot of blood was pooling in a certain big vein, causing his oxygen to get a little lower.
And you said he was 6 months when this Glenn Plus happened?
Yes. 6 months.
And that was in Omaha that he had that procedure?
Yes. Yep. With Dr. Hamill.
Dang. And so since then, you said that that's his main surgery that he's had. And he's 3 and a half now. Like, he is trucking it.
Yeah. So I had wrote in our Caring Bridge post that it's kind of just like the elephant in the room for us, at least, of like, okay, but so like, you know, I'm wanting to plan still of, okay, but when's the next surgery? And like, there was a time that we weren't quite sure what the procedure was going to be because could we try and get two ventricles out of that other half? Was he going to stay single ventricle? It was a toss up. But we've made the decision that it will be a single ventricle repair. But now it's just the when, and our cardiologist is not in any rush. But like I said, I like to plan. So it's like, okay, well, you know, we were thinking, well, let's have another baby. Potentially, if we are blessed with another baby, when could we plan for that? I don't want to have a baby and or be pregnant. If I can control that, you know, when my other son is in the hospital. So that's been a little difficult, but we kind of got the year go ahead a couple years ago. And so then we did end up having another son, which his name is Theo, like your Theo.
I love it.
and he, you know, I was bound to determine I will never have another child. After Asher, I was determined I will not ever bear another child. I cannot go through it again. But things have changed, obviously, and Theo is 1 year old now, and he is heart healthy. We had a fetal echo for him as well. And then when he was born, he was maybe 2 months old. We had an echo done to him, and everything looked great.
That is so, I just love hearing your guys' story. After having a heart warrior as your first child, I can only imagine how traumatic it is to think about being pregnant again. In our situation, Theo's our second born, and we have Donnie, who's 3 and a half now, and we're kind of at the stage where Theo's over a year now, and we're discussing growing our family more, and I'm, you know, kind of paralyzed at when, just like you, mm-hmm. when I do not want to be pregnant while my son is in open heart surgery. I don't want to have a newborn while one of my children are in the hospital long term or whatever it might be. And, you know, it's tough. I mean,
totally. And I consulted our cardiologist, my OBGYN, and they both kind of mentioned that it's very rare. They didn't say it's impossible, but if a child has complex heart disease, it is very rare for another child to have complex heart disease, or really sort of what I understood, any sort of heart disease. So that made me feel like, okay, I was like, well, his is pretty complex, so I think we're okay. And then, you know, I really just had to have faith. And, you know, I also had heart moms and people to talk to when I was going through all of it. And it's funny to think now, like, the things that people say, how it's actually crushing, but people mm-hmm. don't even know. The biggest one that comes to my mind is, you know, we just want him to be healthy. We don't care what it is. We just want him to be healthy.
Oh, yes.
And what if they're not?
Yeah. Yep.
But it's again, people, you know, they say it to be so helpful and kind. And now I like catch myself saying things like that because I have said that.
Yeah.
But it just makes you think a little differently.
Well, and kind of like with February being Heart Month and Heart Week right now that we're in, we're recording this on Tuesday, February 7th. And one of the things that I saw circulating on some of the mom Facebook pages was like a quote that said, I wasn't a heart mom until I was a heart mom. And it's little things like that that you don't think about. And I mean, similarly to you, at our 20-week ultrasound with our Theo, I was just excited to hear if he was a boy or girl. And within the first, I think it was like 2 minutes, our OB told us, she typed on the screen, it's a girl. And of course I cried. I was like, oh my gosh, we have a girl, we have a boy. Oh my gosh. Well, 2 minutes past that, she said, oh my gosh, I think we need to do a little bit more looking. I think he's a boy. So printed the picture that said it's a girl. So she took that picture, ripped it off of the slab and, you know, tucked it away. Said, I'm going to show my OB friends because that was a girl and now it's a boy.
Oh my
God. And so, you know, another 10 minutes go on. She's checking all the things. And that's when she found out that we had the two vessel umbilical cord, which at the time she didn't, you know, she said, okay, well, typically we refer you to an MFM now and I'm going to finish, you know, the whole ultrasound, but I'm struggling to see a couple parts of the heart. I just can't get good pictures, but we'll get you next week with an MFM. And she was like, we'll do some genetic testing today if you want, but I wouldn't be too stressed. But you do have that two vessel umbilical cord. So we will get you with an MFM either way, no matter what. And so, you know, kind of like you, I was trying not to worry, but because she, they, you know, they kind of reassure you and they don't want you to get super stressed over it and whatnot, but it's hard not to, but it's just, it's insane the things that people say when you're pregnant with, you know, it's with any child, you know, like you said, I just want it to be healthy, or I have some Facebook friends that I just want a boy. Like, cross your fingers, it's a boy today. We find out today. And it just like, ooh, those things just kind of hit you a little bit different when you've gone through these different situations.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, people mean the best. They do. You just get a different perspective.
Yep. And it's just all about the experiences that you go through. And like with it being Heart Month, that's all that all of us are trying to do this month is just to kind of raise awareness, because before I joined the Heart Moms Club, you were the only person I knew that had a heart baby. You are literally the only person I knew. And I cannot scroll on my Facebook page for 10 minutes without seeing a heart mom now. And I love it. I love being connected with everyone. I mean, trust me, there are days like last week when we lost a few heart babies, and that's so tough. And I know today another one from our Omaha community gained his angel wings, and it's tough to be a part of it when you go through those things together. But I can't imagine going through it alone. I can't even think about that. And so, I mean, that's kind of the whole point of this, is just to get us talking and to get us together. And I mean, we go through a lot of the similar things, but I can't believe you had so many fetal echoes. Like, that's crazy.
Maybe it's because I just kept going to doctor. Maybe I was in denial. I was like, maybe if there's another echo, nothing, the heart will be there. It's going to be full.
Hey, if they were giving you all these echoes, hey, take them, bond with that baby.
Yeah.
There's no shame in it.
It's interesting because I don't know if, I think it's now that I feel like CHD is so common. I mean, it's 1 in 100. That's the slogan. Yep. I was fortunate enough to know a couple, and people, when I finally decided to post on Facebook about it, people came out of the woodworks of like, well, my cousin has a friend whose uncle, you know, I mean,
yeah,
it seemed like so many people were willing to like share their experience and get me in contact with other people. But I drug my feet for a long time of sharing anything, because I was just telling my friend Katie this a couple weeks ago, that I didn't want to tell anyone. And my mom kept encouraging me, you know, you should really put it out there. People are asking things. They know something's going on. But, you know, it's not our news to share. So we're trying to be respectful. And my thought was, once I put it out there and tell the world, then it's real. I can't take those words back. But before I publicly shared, maybe it would be different. So I think being able to even start something like this just is able to show a vulnerability and just be a great resource for new heart moms and heart parents, because as big of a community as it is, it can also be super lonely, mm-hmm. knowing where to turn.
And if you're not willing, or if you're not in a position that you're ready to put yourself out there and to reach out to other people to get those resources, to get that information, it's like you said, it's lonely. It's tough to navigate. And I know the hospitals and the doctors, they do as much as they can to put you in contact with the resources. I know at our first fetal echo, they gave us a folder of information that I was too emotional to look at the time. I didn't, like you said, I did not want to believe it was true. I waited as long as I could to even announce we were pregnant. We didn't announce until after we found out that Theo was a heart warrior. And I mean, my thought was, okay, well, what if we lose the baby? That's always a thought. Mm-hmm. And then my thought was, okay, what if we welcome this baby and he doesn't last long? What if he gains his wings very early? And so we had all of those things in our mind. And I was like, I don't want to tell people if something were to happen before then or whatever it might be. And we definitely drug our feet as well to announce because, and then once you announce, you get all the questions and you are not prepared to answer them all at once. And you get people that say, I'm here for you if you need anything. Well, I'm just growing a baby right now. I don't need anything. Like I can't, there's nothing more I can do right now than grow this baby. And yes. It's tough. I mean, during that time period, you are very alone. And I hope that people find comfort in things like this, because I know I would have wanted this personally. And I'm glad that I was able to reach out to you. And I quickly got connected with the Heart Moms of Omaha. And I'm so glad I did. But I still think that, I don't know, I hope that this is comforting to other people to hear our stories. And you have a health, you know, you have a very cute, a very healthy. I mean, like he is so he's good. Like, oh my gosh. And like right now I hear my Theo out there crying with his dad. I don't know what they're doing, but like we're in good spots right now, I think, both of us. And, you know, we're very fortunate to be where we are and to have the help that we do have and just everything that we've gone through. And I hope that people are uplifted by our stories as well. And I know not every story is like this. I'm not naive enough to think that we are in that position, but I want to be there for those people too, though. Hold on one second, Lexi. What are you doing? Go sit with your dad. Oh. Then you have to. Hey, you have to be very quiet. Shh. Okay, then you have to be quiet. You can't talk. You can't. Hey. Oh, my God. Yeah, we don't go to bed until. Hey. Well, on the bright side, we're almost done. I just wanted to get a couple more. I wanted to know, which maybe. Donnie, can you go watch Fireman? You can't watch Firefighter. Dondale, open the door. He wants the door open. Go watch Firefighter, Donnie.
No. Here, Donnie. You
watch Fireman. Yeah, you're going to watch Fireman with him. Okay. Try that. But I guess moving forward, if you think back to when you just became a heart mom, what is one piece of advice you would give yourself back then?
Oh, wow.
I know there's so much. I wish I could tell myself a book of things.
Yeah. Maybe I would just tell myself to, have faith and trust the process. Yeah. My family and my friends were the greatest blessings that I could have had in that entire time. Hopefully not going to get emotional. But I would not have. It's a very dark place. And I know that my friends and family were very concerned about me. So leaning in faith and just giving up control, knowing that we have no control.
Yeah.
I think would be my biggest pieces of advice to listen to.
Yeah. On a little bit lighter note, what has been your favorite part of being in the Heart Moms Club?
Oh my gosh. I just think the sense of community and empowerment. I feel very, I've become really involved in Heart Heroes. And sometimes I can get like, oh, I don't know if I should do this or ask this. And everybody is just so supportive and like giving me, like I said, empowerment and saying like, no, it's your kid. You should ask that. You should be proactive and advocate. Don't ever be afraid. So I think just, yeah, the sense of community and a sense of belonging as well.
Definitely. What exactly are you doing with Heart Heroes? Because I see you a lot on the pages and the helping with stuff. So tell me what your volunteer position is kind of doing.
Yeah. So, it was kind of crazy how it all just unfolded. But I just thrown myself in. But I try and do some outreach stuff here around central Nebraska because there's so much that happens in Omaha, especially that's like where the hospital's at. That's where the doctors are at. So I try and do some things around here, but just on the pages, really getting information out there, anything, questions. We started coffee coping and conversation that we they started it during COVID when the world shut down and it was like, what do we do? Everybody was terrified. And then us as heart moms were super terrified. Like we've got kids with half a heart walking around. How are we supposed to handle this like deadly virus? So that's how it started. And I clung to those. I was people I could relate to, and then, COVID kind of ended and I was like, we need those back. I need my heart parent just to talk and see what kind of experiences they're having or if they're having similar issues. So starting those monthly conversations is something that I have been really passionate about. And, it's usually the same group, but sometimes we get some new people on there and we're starting to have some special guests. And Dr. Winters in Omaha has been really helpful with that of getting different people on. So we are going to have one about diet and nutrition this Saturday. Another time we're going to, and feeding. Another time we're going to have one about like lactation consultants. We're going to have cardiac rehab at some point. So just kind of getting the different areas that go into all the realm of cardiology, and just to have open conversations.
This is just a like casual conversation that you're having with these people. You guys are just on Zoom and you guys open the floor, ask the questions, give them a chance to talk back and forth. And you do it from the comfort of your house, literally drinking coffee. So it's the best. Mm-hmm. I am so thankful for those conversations. And I've done them many times just in the car, just chatting away with everybody.
And it's great. Like I've gotten to know different heart moms and their kids. Like now when I see them at events, it's like, oh my gosh, hi, how are they doing? Becoming more of friends. And sometimes I wonder if the doctors are like, oh, they must have had their chat again on Saturday. We're getting all these questions in our inbox.
Lexi, I was visiting one of our heart mom friends whose baby is inpatient right now after his heart surgery. And the nurse that baby Oliver had was actually the nurse that we had when we were there with Theo. So it was kind of like a flashback. We were able to see each other. And we were kind of talking about this podcast and everything. And the nurse, her name is Abigail, she mentioned, she was like, I don't remember the heart moms being this close 5 years ago. She's like, it really freaks our floor manager out when everybody's talking to everybody and she just doesn't understand. I was like, well, that's what happens when you relate to people.
Yeah. So maybe, kind of makes them feel they're all so great though. I've never.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they are all wonderful. And I think, like you said, it's just fun to see people out and about at even at the heart events and stuff like that, being able to say, oh my gosh, I've talked to you for the last, 2 months on Zoom, but here you are and here's your heart warrior. And it's just fun to meet up.
My sister was, the way she put it is so true. There was another heart parent that lived at the time, like 30 minutes from us. And we would text, Facebook message, all the time. But we never had met each other in person. And then, so random, their daughter ended up having heart surgery the day before us. And so we were at the hospital at the same time. And I could, hear them being, say their last name. And I'd be like, oh, my gosh, I just heard them. And my sister was like, you guys are, online dating. You talk all the time, but you've never seen each other. I was like, that is exactly what it is.
It is true.
And then she ended up, then Asher had his surgery the next day, and then we were on the cardiac, the recovery floor, and she walked by, and I was like, oh, I think that's her. My husband's like, well, go say hi, I guess.
I love it so much. And honestly, when you're going through that kind of stuff, those little pieces of joy of seeing a familiar face that you've talked to before, that's not a nurse or a doctor, is so comforting and so relieving, I think. In my experience, I was so excited to see a friend that I could walk down to the cafeteria with, grab a drink and head back up to the room. And just, we didn't even have to talk, but just walking with someone who understands. And yes, we both have partners that were with us for most of it, but honestly, we need somebody else too. And heart moms are the best friends.
Agreed. Yes. the guys are there, but
it's different. It's different. Well, Lexi, I am so thankful that you were able to pop on and chat for a little bit. And honestly, I'm sure I will ask you back on the podcast a million more times because I could just talk to you so much.
I feel like I can talk to you stuff all the time.
Honestly, I really could. And our friends, they are sick and tired of hearing us talk about it all the time. They're so supportive of us, but they just, all of the terms just kind of go over their head. And I am so glad to have a community that understands what we're talking about. And we are not medical experts, but my pediatrician, he's always like, yeah, you got your MD real quick, huh? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. But all right, Lexi, I'm going to let you go. So I will chat with you soon. Give Asher and Theo a hug for me. We need to plan our meetup pretty soon.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes. All right. Bye, Lexi.
We'll see ya.
I hope you guys really enjoyed that chat with Lexi. I appreciate her so much for being my first guest on the Heart Moms Club podcast. As always, if you want to get involved or become part of the conversation and potentially join the podcast as well, go ahead and check out the links in the bio and they will take you to some of our Facebook pages and things like that that we can have you guys join and be a part of. So if you've made it this far, thank you guys so much. I'm super excited for our guest next week. So stick around and that will be posted soon. Thanks.